I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. Ceasefires sometimes do break down. That's one of the many sad realities of war. But an announced 72-hour ceasefire, you'd expect it to last at least a half day or so. Not so with last night's ceasefire between Hamas and Israel in Gaza. It collapsed within a very short time. Nicholas Casey is in Gaza City for the Wall Street Journal. I asked him how the collapse looked from his perspective there.
I got up this morning. Actually, I was up the night before trying to report out what was going on with the ceasefire. And, you know, we as the reporters, along with everybody else in Gaza here, thought we were at the end of this, that these 3 days were going to be used for Gazans to be able to get some food and water. But for political leaders among the Israelis and the Palestinians to be able to sort out some sort of permanent end to this conflict. You know, in the morning, there were people out in boats, fishing, going to the beach. I went into the market and started to talk to people who were gathering up, you know, some supplies, getting mangoes, other things. And then not long afterward in the morning, we started to hear the crash of Israeli attacks. I started to see rockets going through the sky back towards Israel, and people started just to go back inside. It was clear that the ceasefire wasn't really a ceasefire and that it was over.
What were they thinking had happened? I mean, it must have been really odd to hear there's going to be a ceasefire and then nothing.
Well, it's not the first time, because there have been a few smaller pauses that have gone on that have been broken. Just a couple of days ago, there was a four-hour ceasefire that was supposed to happen. It didn't include all neighborhoods in Gaza, and the Israelis ended up striking a market that was there, killing about 17 people in the market, including a Palestinian journalist. So these ceasefires can be extremely dangerous times for people who are trying to go out when suddenly the fighting starts to happen in the middle of what's supposed to be a quiet day.
The Israeli Defense Forces says one of its soldiers was kidnapped by Hamas, and we've heard reports of doom on the horizon in Gaza. Israel does not like it when soldiers get kidnapped. How are people in Gaza responding to this situation?
Well, they're also really scared. There's been 1,400 people who have been killed in Gaza this month. And the fact now that there's an Israeli soldier, which is in Hamas's hands potentially, doesn't really bode well for the civilians here. That's just to say, when these soldiers are kidnapped, this is a huge, huge thing in Israel and may really affect the course of how this war goes in the next few days and affect everybody here, including us.
So as we head into the weekend, Nicholas, so what's the level of anxiety in Gaza? And we're about to enter week five of this violent mess.
People in Gaza here just don't know what's going to happen next. I got here just after the fighting started, and you could see every day Gaza getting a little bit worse. It started with buildings coming down, children being killed, the morgue running out of space. Now there's no electricity in Gaza. The electricity plant was one of the targets in an Israeli attack. No one has refrigeration anymore. Sewage is overflowing here because the pumps aren't working, and there's no water for almost anybody in Gaza at this point because the water pumps mainly are on the other side of the Israeli lines, the part that Israel has taken now and is using to try to clear out the tunnels. That's also where the water pumps are, so people don't have that. On top of that, there's almost no one that doesn't have a family member that has been killed at this point that you read on the streets. And there are 200,000, actually more than 200,000 Palestinians who are displaced and are not in their homes. And that's more than 10% of the Gaza Strip right now. This place is just coming apart at the seams.